Hey, Heartbreakers. Welcome back to another Breakdown bonus episode. I will never get used to this. You have not been my coworker for like a year and a half. And I swear, every single time I introduce you, I say coworker, and then I have to edit it.
I'm always like,
let me take that out. This is ex-coworker Justin, who I used to work with, but now I don't.
Yay.
Hey, welcome back to the podcast. How you been, bud?
I've been good. The weather's nice down here. We're starting to go to the beach, so I'm happy.
So fun.
Mm-hmm.
So not me completely chomping on ice while I'm recording this podcast. I'm just in such an unprofessional mood today. I'm about to go play pickleball, so I just simply can't be bothered. Anyway, quick update before we get into the episode. Wanted to remind you all that the Breakup Breakdown podcast live event is in, 3 weeks? It's on May 11th at Painted Horse Winery in Alpharetta. We are doing a live story where somebody said they got catfished for 8 years. I sat down with them a couple of weeks ago to like get the full story. So we were prepared for it. It's going to be wild. It's going to be wild. But even though it doesn't sound relatable to me, I think this person's reasoning for how they got catfished for 8 years is something that everybody has experienced at one point in time.
Interesting. Because 8 years is a long time. It's like, what didn't you notice?
It's jarring for sure. Because 8 years, you're kind of like, what were you doing? But when you hear what was going on, I think people will see themselves in this story.
There better be like a twin situation going on.
A twin.
That's all I'm saying. Like a twin brother, a twin sister you didn't know about. I don't know. And you found out because their teeth look different or something.
Yeah. Like it's Pretty Little Liars or whatever.
Yeah.
So I will not confirm or deny, but it is a really juicy story. So if you want to see it live, you can check out tickets. Link is in my bio. Let's get into it. So this week we had a story about somebody who got back together with her high school sweetheart after getting married to a woman. So she was dating a guy. They were together for 3 years. They broke up. And then she got with this woman, got married. And long story short, the woman had like serious drug problems, which my heart goes out to them. But, you know, sometimes you don't need to be involved in that kind of mess when you're married to someone. It just makes things more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what I really thought that you would relate to, because you talk about this all the time when it comes to your relationship with your wife, Nicole, now, because you always said the one thing that's a non-negotiable for people in relationships is what you want to do with kids, because you can't do that with anybody else. Anything else you can figure out. But when it comes to the kid situation, like if they don't want to have kids, if you don't want to have kids, like at the end of the day, like it doesn't matter how much you love them, it's not going to work. And so essentially what happened in this story is, yes, they both wanted kids, but the ex-wife had such bad drug problems that they literally couldn't afford to have kids because she was spending so much money on drugs. So what I thought was so funny was the girl that I interviewed was like, she scared me into being straight. I was like, I don't want to spend $25,000 when I could just have a kid for free. I'm already bisexual. Might as well do the...
just go get a donor myself.
Might as well just do it for free. And I was like, not being straight, being the economical choice, like being gay in this economy, never.
It's too expensive. Yeah. I mean, listen, there's a lot, like the whole kid thing, it just goes back to when somebody is like, not saying you can't change your mind, but when you're like, by the time you're in your 20s, I think you have an idea of if you want to be a parent down the line or not.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's a few random things that maybe change that. But that's like life altering things that would change that, in my opinion. If you're in your 20s and you don't think you want kids, you probably don't want kids. And that's just probably not going to change. And that's all right. Not a big deal. It happens. But if you've got a significant other that wants kids, it is kind of your obligation to make sure you don't go too far down the road with them thinking that that is an end goal for both of you.
Yeah. I've never seen people flip in the not wanting to have kids category. So I've never seen people want to have kids in their 20s and be like, oh yeah, I really want to be a mom. And then all of a
not
sudden
want
they get
one.
into a relationship and they're like, actually, I don't. I feel like you usually have that feeling. Maybe you're trying to convince yourself into having kids. Like
Sure.
you think, oh, in 5 years I'll want them. And then in 5 years you're
Well,
like, no.
and there is always that, like, oh, I'm waiting for the right time. There's never gonna be a right time to have kids because of how much work they are and they involve. But like, you know, you want kids when, like, the way I can explain it is, I got a friend who they say they want kids, but they're always like, oh, we've got a wedding at the end of the summer, so we're gonna, maybe after that is when we'll try. And then the end of the summer comes and they're like, well, we've got a friend that's getting married in December, and I don't want to not be able to drink at that wedding and this stuff. It's like, okay, well then you guys don't want kids. Like, you're not serious about it. If you wanted kids, you would do what my wife and I did. And it's like, cool, we want kids, lock it down. Let's act like we have kids right now. And you just stop doing all the non-parent stuff, if that makes sense. Like, you know, for my wife, she pretty much had to act like she was pregnant until she was, because like, you shouldn't be drinking when you're doing that stuff, and you gotta track your cycles and stuff like this. So there is like a lot of, you'll know if you're serious pretty quickly on it. And if you're not, then that's fine too, but just don't string someone else along who is.
That's so funny because that's my exact thought process. And maybe that's a level of immaturity. I mean, I just turned
Not at all.
27. Maybe I'll grow out of it. But I would literally be thinking, oh, my best friend's getting married next
Yeah.
year. The bachelorette party's coming up, and I don't want to be pregnant during the bachelorette
Right.
party.
And I don't think it's a level of immaturity at all. I think it's totally fine. Like, that's just where someone is. Like at some point, whether it's a pregnancy or having a kid, you won't be able to do something because of that kid. And if you're letting that stop you from trying, then you're not ready for kids. Like, we had a friend who, really close friend, like great friend. They had a destination wedding in Cancun. We couldn't go because of Quinn. And we knew while we were trying, there was a chance we wouldn't be able to go because of our child. And it's like, well, at the end of the day, we want to be a family more than we want to go to their wedding. We understand, they'll understand that, like, we just can't drop $3,000. We just had an emergency C-section baby. Like, that's like, it's expensive in itself. So like, you just know, like, it just when certain priorities adjust, that's when you know it's either happening or not. And if those things aren't on the same page for both people, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, I want to be like Paris Hilton, and I just want to use a surrogate, and then one day be like, "Surprise, everyone! I
I've
had
got a baby
a kid." Like
and I was able to drink the whole time.
no, she really did it the right way. Just like
Yeah.
zero cons, just like your baby is
Dude,
all of a sudden here.
I'm not saying it's there's money in it, but my wife did have a friend who had a surrogate for a family, and you make a good amount of money doing it.
Like, what are you talking? Like six figs?
From my understanding, I think it was like 150K, yeah.
I don't think I would do it less for 250. I would do it for 250, maybe.
So it was 150, but all expenses were paid for. So in terms of hospital bill, all that stuff was covered,
Yeah.
which depending on how it goes, if it's natural, it's a lot cheaper, obviously. But if you have to do the C-section, and if there's any rehab involved, like all the doctor bills, all the doctor appointments, like all that's covered. So that's probably, you know, you'd have to do the math, but that's a lot of that too.
Yeah, I know, but that's like a life-changing decision. You know what I mean? You're asking
Yeah.
to, or you're not asking, you're accepting that your body will change, that
Yes.
you're
And
giving up, yeah, a
she
lot of things
has
to hear.
kids of her own, so she's been
Oh.
through it. But I think she's been a surrogate like four times.
That's honestly so smart. I mean, I can't even imagine like
It's
what
probably
it's done to
tough.
her physically, because that's, I mean, that's a beat down.
Draining.
I don't know how those Duggars did it, like 19 kids and counting. I can't fathom carrying one child. I can barely wrap my mind around that. But I'm sure after the third one, you're like, all right, like it's what's one more?
I got this. This ain't a thing anymore. No, and my wife has told me numerous times, like, pregnancy tired is nowhere close to any other tired that you could ever, like, physically explain to somebody. And I saw it. Like, she'd be sleeping when I came home from work. I'd make us dinner. I'd wake her up. She'd eat, go immediately back to sleep. She'd wake up, go to work, talk about how exhausted she was, come home, go back to sleep. I'm like, What is, are you just going to sleep for 9 months straight? And I mean, you pretty much do. I mean, she was throwing up for the first whole trimester. So that's a whole nother thing that's got to be physically demanding and exhausting. So yeah, I think to kind of wrap it all up, at yeah. least with the pregnancy stuff, if you're both not on the same page, in a same sex relationship, maybe that's a little bit different, but I still think if you're not on the same page, it's just not going to happen. And you kind of owe it to that person. If you do really have feelings for that person, you kind of owe it to them to let them know, no matter how much that might not be a fun conversation to have.
If you're like me, and the second you get home from work, you are ravenous. You are going to love these new meals I've been trying out from Factor. Factor has delicious, ready-to-eat meals that you can make in 2 minutes with pre-prepared, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door. It's so convenient. I have like grocery store ADHD. Anytime I go to like Publix or something, I'm buying everything, and then I come home with no meals. Whereas Factor, it's all the meal prep done for you. You've got 35 different options a week to choose from, including keto, calorie smart, vegan and veggie, and so much more. And there's even more to enjoy with over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons that help make your weekly meal planning even more delicious. If you want to get started today and have a feel-good week of meals ready to go, head to factormeals.com/breakup50 and use code breakup50 to get 50% off. That's code breakup50 at factormeals.com/breakup50 to get 50% off.
So this is interesting because I remember you said that you had had a conversation with your wife, Nicole's dad, where mm-hmm. he kind of, I don't want to say he cornered you, but he kind of said it with you straight. Like, if you don't want to have kids, like let Nicole know.
He told me when I asked for his permission to marry Nicole, he said, I only have one question. Are you and her on the same page about kids? And have you had the conversation about kids? And I said, yes. And he said, then you have my permission. As long as you two are on the same page. And that was it.
So now, why do you think he chose that time to ask you? Because at that point, like, y'all had been together for 4 years. So yeah. It was a little late, if you know.
Well, and I think a little bit, you know, like dating is dating and you could date for however long you want, but like marriage, that's a whole nother step in that commitment level. And he kind of knew Nicole and I, and even her sister did the same thing. It's like, we didn't really have a need to get married. We were on the same page. We knew the reason we would get married is like, okay, let's take it to the next level. Let's have a kid. Let's do this thing and get married, you know, like kind of do it in the quote unquote proper order. If that makes sense. Like, let's get married. Let's get a house. Let's have a kid. You know, we're just kind of checking off the boxes as we go down. So he kind of knew me asking for marriage was like, we're gonna take these next steps now. We're gonna buy a house. We already kind of had that lined up at that point, and it's like, then we're gonna make a family. We're gonna start a family. So,
was there ever a point in y'all's relationship where you felt like you guys might not be on the same page about kids? Like, was there ever a point where you were kind of like, I don't know if I want kids, and this chick like seems to want to be a mom really bad?
She was definitely way more into it than I was, because I was like you. I'm like, oh, well, we got a wedding down, you know, 2 months from now. Then I really
as if it's going to affect you in any way.
Right. She's like, why would you care? I'm going to be your DD regardless now. Like, you have a DD for 9 months. Take advantage. So I think she was way more in on it than I was, because I'm also like the kind of nervous person, the worried person. But to that, you know, in the relationship, the other person makes you feel calm. I saw how Nicole was wanting to do that, and how confident she was in herself to do it and be a great mom. And she is a great mom, but it's like, you know, I saw her doing that and I'm like, okay. She's going to be able to pick up for what I think I'm going to lack in this fatherhood situation.
So for you, it was more of like a self-confidence thing, like, can I be a good dad, and less about like the kid.
Will I be a good dad? Will my job let me be a good dad? Because you know how demanding radio can be on time and availability, you know, with our, you know, you do weekend appearances, you make cash on the side, you know, do I make enough money? Do we do all that?
Yeah.
I'm a planner. I'm a worrier. I'm very like, let's wait for the right time. And Nicole was more like, let's just do this thing. Let's just go.
Like, which is how you got to be if you're going to carry
100%.
The kid. Hang on, 100%. I have ice cube in my mouth. Okay. Sorry. I have a Coke Zero in front of me for everyone listening, and it's, you're just not supposed to eat while you're working, but I'm riding my, my birthday high, and I'm just not ready to like come back to life and have to do real shit. But I think for me, it's such a big thought in my head when I'm dating, because I think because men don't have to think about pregnancy in the same way that women do, a lot of guys don't think too hard about having kids. They're like, oh, I really want kids. Like, I really want a family, which that might actually be true. But I think because they don't really think it through, they think they really, really, really do want kids. So that when someone like me is sitting in front of them on a date and I'm like, oh, kids, yikes, I don't know. Like, about
yeah.
It kind of already like divvies up an already teeny, tiny, small, minuscule dating pool that we're
fishing. Until I met Nicole, the only time I thought about kids was post-date, when I was no longer with the person, and I'm like, oh man, I really hope she's not pregnant. I don't want to be a dad, you know? That's what I thought about kids was after the fact, which always made me think I was not ready or didn't want kids, you know? Like, I was always like, oh God, I hope I'm not a dad, you know? Like, we don't need that.
No, I know. Wait, and it's something like, because I'm not super casual when it comes to hooking up. That's always been something in the back of my mind that I'm like, I could never be casual about it because I would always be terrified that I'm going to accidentally like have a kid with some rando. And funny sidebar, I was at a Waffle House this weekend. Oh my God, this is the wildest story. My mom and I went out after the Braves game and we were staying out all night, went to Waffle House with these two dudes that we were hanging out with at the bar. And this one dude was saying that he had paternity tests in his email. He's like, this girl that says I knocked her up said she's going to like email me like the results this weekend, but I haven't looked at them yet. Long story short, he met this girl like last summer or whatever, 2 summers ago, was with her throughout the pregnancy, was there for the birth, named the kid. So he, for all intents and purposes, thinks this kid is his. Opens the paternity test with me and my mom at the Waffle House.
Find out he wasn't the dad?
He's not the father.
Oh, no.
Isn't that freaking wild? Isn't that wild? Oh,
yeah, that's tough, man. That's... I couldn't even imagine. Yeah. That's not good, but you know, I guess on his end saves him potentially some money down the line with this kid. If he doesn't want to be involved, I guess it's like, you know, you cannot be now.
Yeah, that's my new figure of speech when I'm relieved. I'm just going to be like, I fell to my knees in the Waffle House. That's what I witnessed this Saturday with this poor man.
Well, but was he upset about it, or was he like, because you know what I mean? Like if he didn't want kids, then that's a relief. If he did want that to be his kid, then that's like the most devastating news ever. It's like there's no in between, really.
Well, it's bittersweet because it wasn't like it was a pregnancy scare. I think it would have been full on relief if it was just like, oh, she says she's pregnant and now she's not.
Yeah.
The thing is that he was there for the birth, like held this girl's hand while she was delivering what he thought was going to be his child, named the kid. And then, you know, for however long was acting like a father. And now he isn't. So I think it was a little bit of like happy shock, but shock nonetheless.
Like, wow. Yeah. And I mean, there's another person who's about to get a shocking call as well in that situation, the actual dad. So,
oh yeah.
that could be the opposite effect. Is this guy's like, wait, I wasn't there for the birth. I wasn't there for the naming, none of this. And you're just telling me I'm the dad. That could also go south pretty quick.
Yeah. Mind fuck. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, do you have any final words for people who are trying to figure out the whole kid situation while they're, you know, trying to decide who's going to be the mother or father of their babies?
No, I think if you either know or you don't. And if you're going into a relationship and the other person's like very open with you that they don't want kids on either side, male or female or same sex, like, they're probably not going to change their opinion. You're not going to make them change their opinion unless something really crazy happens. The only thing I could think is like, I don't know, like if I didn't have a kid and just worst case scenario, like, I don't know, my mom gets sick and like on her deathbed is like, I wish I could have met my grandchild or something. I don't know. That might change some things. And knowing both my brothers probably won't have kids, and my dad making a comment to me in the past, like, oh, well, you know, it's up to you. If you don't have a kid, like our line of family is just done. That's a weird, grand, like way weird way of looking at everything and thinking about it. And it did change it for me, at least in that scenario. But it's like, it really, unless it's something crazy, I don't think they're going to change their mind about it.
Yeah. One last thing. Since you were getting ready to have your first kid this time last year, what's something you'd want people who are still figuring out to know about parenthood?
Just don't, everyone tries to, no, I'll change it. Okay. This is, don't let anybody change the way you're raising your kid. If you're being a good parent, or you think you're being a good parent, you're being a good parent. There are ways you will decide to do something with your child that your parents didn't do with you. And I think it's on the parent, if you're a parent of a child that's about to do this, it's also a little bit on you that their decisions they make do not reflect how they felt you were parenting them. Nicole and I have made some decisions that, for better or worse, I don't think my parents meant for it to feel that way, but they very much felt like they had to defend themselves. Like, we're not giving, like, we're waiting for a year to give her sweets. We haven't been giving her any sugar at all yet. And my parents were like, oh, well, you know, we were giving you sweets at 6 months. I'm like, I know. Well, you know, we're waiting. They're like, well, do you think, you know, like, it wasn't like they said you couldn't do it. Back then, they said you were allowed to do it. And we gave you milk and all this stuff. And it's like, I understand. You guys did great. I'm a little messed up in the head, but it's okay. That's not your doing. You know, we have just gotten new research that parents are given now that show maybe we don't give them milk, real milk, like actual whole milk. And we don't give them sweets until a certain age. And you do this and you do that and make sure it's more organic. And it's like, you guys did great. Let me take what you guys did and do it better with her. Like, let's keep evolving this thing. You know, so I think I feel like from her side and from my side, there were times where our parents felt like they kind of had to defend their parenting style on us because we were doing something different with Quinn. And that's not the case.
Great parenting advice. Wow. Look at you, Father Justin. Father Justin, you've come so far. When I met you, because a lot of our old videos have come up on my timeline from like this 4 years ago during the pandemic. And I'm like, oh my God, Justin was such a frat boy. And now here he is, a full-on dad.
Still a little bit of a frat boy, though. I got the hat backwards. You know, it's still a little bit. But yes, we have come a long way.
Well, thanks for joining me. Again, if you want to get those tickets to the Breakup Breakdown live podcast, it's going to be on May 11th. Get your tickets in the bio. See you whenever you decide to tune in next.